Followed by a brief explanation. lack of good conditions on the macro. So we have a slide presentation. Maybe who's got first slide? Apparently there's no slide, there's no slide presentation available. So we will have to copy the slide presentation for members. But in the meantime, I think we can ask the board to go ahead with the presentation. Thank you very much.
All the hallmarks. Following this very public announcement by Hebrew, as well as the swearing in ceremony, that this is the intent of our ceremony, as well as the shape, the attendance shape. The OTM network was already troubled by the present result. The legislative and presidential election. As you know, this was an election for local councillors, legislature, as well as for the position of the president. So all these three elections took place in one day. But what was the worrying to the OTM was the fact that they led and they won the legislative election. They won 47% of the seats in the National Assembly. They got 99 seats out of 210 seats in the National Assembly. While the ruling PMU only managed 43, which is about 30% seats in the National Assembly. So the OTM raised the issue that we can't see that they do presidential elections in the presidential election when these elections took place at the same time. As we know, what followed were killing displacement of people, the destruction of property, especially in the Rift Valley, in Nyanza, in the coast, as well as the central province, where flesh is particularly over the issue of land. And I'll come back and talk about this particular issue, which, according to many observers, is one of the can think of almost 1,000 people consumed in the content of the project, and over 300 people have been displayed the internal display. The feelings were not just limited to ordinary and high profile politicians, leading members of the ODM, the Kenyan Parliament, were also members of this foreign meeting out by Kenyan Kenya. ODM MPs, in particular, Mugabe were and David Ryan too, were killed in January. The causes of the attempt are known to the authorities of the United States, but the ODM came as leader of the political organization, which were orchestrated to try and issue territory in Panama. As I mentioned earlier, the problem of violence in Kenya is not new. During the advent of democracy, indeed, Kenya experienced a term of violence associated with the electoral process in 92, 97, also in 2002. In 92, in particular, 2,000 people were killed and over 300,000. After the 1997 election, violence erupted also in the region, and the government at the time blamed this on the refusal of the Kikuyu and the Luo to accept the outcome of the election. According to two observers and other prophets who watch Kenya quite closely, the current violence cannot be simply characterized as an ethnic problem. But they maintain that the issue of ethnicity is manipulated in the process, but that there are underlying factors contributing to this situation. And amongst others, these are cleanliness and dispossession, and this takes back to post-independent Kenya from 1963, when some of the groupies had their land dispossessed. The other question is centralization of power, where the argument there is not evolution of power, political power, from the center to the province. Currently, as you know, the Kenyan constitutional political arrangement is that the provinces are run by provincial administration, are not elected but are appointed by the president. And there's a view that says that the situation has to change, that there has to be constitutional reform that would lead to the establishment of a government in the very province. And also that there has to be an even distribution of the sources and points across the provinces, and also that there has to be a formula for distribution sharing of revenue across the provinces. So these are some of the issues which have been highlighted as the major underlying cause of the socio-political conflict in Kenya. As you know, the international community has made a number of attempts to try and intervene and resolve the situation in Kenya. There have been several nations, but the about the successful mission so far, the mission led by the former Deputy General of the UN, Kofi Annan. As we speak, Kofi Annan is presiding over a very crucial talk which has taken place outside of Nairobi. And we are all hoping that this talk will lead to an outcome that is satisfactory, that is acceptable, that is favorable. We will be informed that there will be an announcement to put the nation as the proposal. Before the arrival of the former chair of the AU, President Kufu, there were intent behind the scenes to this mediation initiation. And this led to a highly disputed document called the Principles of Action. In the TNU, the ruling party in government, they disputed that they were in touch, they were in touch with the government. And that they ever would have to have any negotiations with that government. However, the OGM insists that there were negotiations and that there was a document that was about to be designed, the so-called principles of access and documents. However, as we speak now, the main that is to revolve around the document that has been produced by Kofi Annan, which I will speak about just in a while. But just to recall that the parties, the two parties that put specific minimum, what they consider to be minimum conditions for provision with respect to the current team review in Kenya. The ODM in particular, the opposition, has insisted that President Kibaki should step down as President of Kenya. Since in their view, he lost the election, and he should take him to step down. They've called for the formation of an interim government. They've called for a rerun of the presidential election. And as President Kibaki appealed to international mediation. The PNU, the ruling party of the other party of national unity, has stated three main issues as their position going forward. Firstly, that President Kibaki should be recognized as the legitimate president. In their view, he won the election. He was sworn in. He was declared the winner by the chairman, electoral commission, and therefore he should be recognized as the president of the republic. Secondly, the mentioned stated that their view is that the current situation is the dialogue for him, that is looking broadly at the issues of national reconciliation, bringing national cohesion and national unity, and that in their view, it should not in any way change the current politics of that arises. We have also stated that those who are at risk in this respect, obviously referring to the ocean, should channel their concerns and grievances to the court so that these matters can be arbitrated according to the competent independent authorities. Towards the end of last month, Kofi Annan provided his side with a document detailing the process called the Kenya National Dialogue and Reconciliation. This document is the basis for the current negotiation process that is taking place in Kenya. The members are aware that Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa was invited by Kofi Annan to join the mediation. But he gratefully, graciously, withdrew from the process following the presentation by the TMU. Now, both parties have been agreed since the beginning of this month, have agreed on the agenda item that has to be held. They've agreed on that common agenda. They've categorized the issues into short term and long term issues. The short term issues relate to the issue around stopping the violence and restoring the fundamental rights of liberties of Kenyan citizens. Measures to address the humanitarian crisis, promote reconciliation, healing and restoration, overcoming the current political crisis, which arise from the disputed presentation of course. So they've agreed that this issue will have to be resolved by Friday this week. So at this retreat, we hope that they will get statement that that we keep this issue in the deadline, as I just said. So these are the short-term issues. As I said, they would want to resolve between 7 and 15 days from the commencement of the dialogue, which commenced on the 1st of the current month. And the long-term issue, which the period of a year to really deal with, relates to constitutional and institutional reform, tackling the issue of poverty, inequality, as well as unevenness in regional development, the issue of land reform, the issue of youth unemployment, the issue of national unity and national cohesion, and addressing transparency and accountability in the. So these are the long-term issues that they have to develop a country to deal with within a year, commenting on one February. Now, the status, Chairperson and honorable members, as we see here, is that our information suggests that the talks are progressing well. That it is likely to be a major announcement corroborating our view that the talks are progressing well. But as we know, with experiences like these, it's always not easy to be definitive. But we can report that there is progress. And that normalcy and order is beginning to return to Kenya. Schools have reopened. We just spoke to our master. Any concern that indeed it improves the situation. Business activity has resumed. And the essential supplies, basic foodstuffs and all that, which could not reach some of the most parts of the country, are now being transported through roll and rake, rolling and roll to those parts. And that the supply line to some of the landlord countries which rely on the port of Mombasa for their supply and have it open. Yesterday, the community agency praised Parliament, the Kenyan Parliament, about progress with respect to the COP, and Parliament took note of the progress, and they expressed the view that they would want to see the resolution from the crisis. As we speak, the parties are in energies outside of Nairobi, and we hope that they'll conclude their work tomorrow. The crisis, honorable members, has had a serious impact, devastating impact on the Kenyan economy, as well as the economies of its neighbors. As you know, Kenya provides the platform for relief operations in Somalia and the Sudan, and is a key anchor for the long-term stabilization of Rwanda and Uganda. The legal consequences of this crisis are still here. Not only the economy of Kenya, but also those of the region have been affected, because as I said, some of these countries, landlocked countries, they are dependent on regular supplies coming from the port of Mombasa through the Oromia Strait. And as a result of the crisis, these countries have been denied major supply, and it has also impacted the negativity of their own economy. Kenya has lost revenue. As you know, it's one of the major tourist destinations. Tourism industry is one of the most important earners of foreign currency, foreign exchange in Kenya. Just impact has negative on that. The combination of pushing the mountains and tourism from different parts of the world also affected the flower, the flower industry in Kenya, flower import. Also one of the major export areas of Kenya. As a result of the crisis, Kenya is unable to accept FDI. It's rating in terms of political stability, economic stability, and all that. Their climate is quite considerable. It has also disrupted transportation of goods. And has deprived people of their basic commodities as well. And has also led to depreciation of the Kenyan currency. A month ago, the Kenyan Treasury estimated the impact to the economy to the tune of the equivalent of 6 million cents. If this trend continues, it means that by now we should be taking it to 15 billion that has been dropped. The implications for the region, as well mentioned, Kenya was a stable country before this conflict. It played the role of a mediator in a conflict called Kenya posted the talks that led to the signing of the comprehensive peace agreement in the Sudan Kenya also hosted a service called the aim that the don't be Somali question. And as you know, recently, the Nairobi Communique, which contributed considerably to the easing of tension between the DRC and Rwanda, was signed in Kenya, in Nairobi, at the behest of almost. So we worry quite a lot about this crisis and what it means for the stability of the East African relationship. As Minister, Deputy Minister Panagarve indicated, our position is clear in this respect. We call for an immediate end to the violence, and we will let it be that the beginning of the week. We call for the restoration of the autonomous people in and we've indicated our full support for the initiative taken to resolve the crisis, and specifically the initiative of the African Union and the mediation process that is currently taking place under the leadership of Mr. Kofi Annan and the General Assembly.
Thank you, thank you, DTC, for the presentation, which I think we must want to engage with and probably engage further than
and also I wish to thank the Deputy Minister herself for the presentation. The question I would like to ask is around the Cyril Ramaphosa. What role did the Foreign Affairs play in his appointment? Because we heard the Deputy Minister of Pahat, after he recused himself from those talks, he actually questioning that decision to that Mr. Ramaphosa was removed. Implied that one would, when one listens, it would appear that the government has had a hand, or that Cyril Ramaphosa was representing the government. If the answer is not in the affirmative, then why did he have to go that far and putting the country into disrepute on an issue which he didn't know? But he would never vouch that Cyril Ramaphosa was not a partner of the opposition, but in fact, Cyril Ramaphosa himself said they are helping both parties in the business. And then there comes our Deputy Minister questioning the decision for Cyril Ramaphosa, or questioning those people who are saying he must be true. And lastly, the African Union's policy on electoral guidelines in the continent. Maybe you could also enlighten us as to whether these policies are implementable. Are there any inherent defects in those policies? But this problem of the institutions which support the government in the continent are not going to go away. This problem, because there seems to be some of these institutions are highly political, starting from the judicial branches in Kenya or Guinea, says I cannot go that route because these are the friends of the president of the ruling party. And so it goes also for the IEC. We saw their IEC gentlemen just overrule everybody. So it might also help us to debate that in the future, as we are involved in a number of these cases. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Should you just like to raise some questions which arise both from this report and the background of the Kenya election? Can I start off by saying that I think there are two very serious aspects, and you've alluded to them by inference, but I just want to put them on the table. What really makes the Kenyan electoral situation very, very serious for us in South Africa and across the continent is that she was an incumbent president who, by the recognition of a lot of observers, including the European Union, who were there, was in fact voted out of office. And he installed himself, as you indicate in the report, within an hour of a contested result being declared, before that result could even be appealed against, and the process was followed. So I think in terms of what we have said as a country and what our position has been on electoral outcomes, it is very different. I therefore come to what's described in your document as a South African position, which I think no one can disagree with in terms of what's said there, but there seems to be a very serious omission in our position that I see it. Because in the document you say that obviously you want to end violence, that you support initiatives to resolve the crisis, and the AU has our support in Israel. I think that does for everyone has no objection to that. But in the document you say, well look, the AU, the limitation of the AU policy when it comes to disputes and elections. But actually that doesn't negate South Africa's policy in this regard. And I wonder if I could refer you to well, I assume a positive comments made by the President of South Africa, Mr. Mbeki, in September 1999, in a speech at the SADC Electoral Commission's Forum, Doris Long, where he said as follows, President Mbeki, quote, "Equally important is the fact that the electoral process must ensure the highest credibility possible among the people that being free, fair, and honest, with its results being respected by all populations. If the conduct of any election is deemed to be fraudulent by the electorate, its outcome will similarly be considered illegitimate. This must lead directly to the imperative to remove such an illegitimate government by unconstitutional means." Unquote. That's the address of President Mbeki, the AGM of SADC Electoral Commission's Board of Directors on 27 September 1999. Now, I've not heard any other contrary policy, so I assume that is our position. And therefore I'd like to ask, what did South Africa do for the Department of Foreign Affairs in the wake of the disputed electoral outcome in Kenya? Did we recognize the results? Did we congratulate President Kibaki? Did we withhold our congratulations or our recognition of it? So other than general support to bring down the levels of violence to certain bodies one agrees with, and the AU process, did we in any way act on what I assume to be opposition on electoral outcomes, where they do not meet the requirements laid out by President Mbeki?
Thank you, Sir Dixon. As to the background of this conflict, I find one area of omission. Given the history of dictatorship in Kenya and the recent return to multipartyism, given also the way in which these main political parties have characterized themselves, they usually not name themselves after some fruits or bananas and so on. Now, I think there is a major problem with regard to a lack of culture of democracy in Kenya, given the background of the state. Democracy and a lack of political and democratic culture. You have mentioned the fact that in terms of the long-term goals that have been agreed, which I agree with you, constitutional reform, institutions and so on, IEC, socio-political measures. But if those are not supported by strong political parties in Kenya, which terms of practice, in the terms of substantial and theological outlook or vision or a cause that they are pursuing other than regime change. These practices came about in the desire for regime change, ethnic change, which they succeeded to be when they formed the Loop Coalition, which after regime change crumbled. And I'm saying that for me, that is part of the major cause of the current problem that they are facing, is that subsequent to that regime change, there has not been a clear political and ideological framework that these parties themselves have pursued. In other words, who are they, what they want, what kind of tenets they want. That matter is not resolved. Among the parties themselves, I think there's going to be a problem in the future. The second matter is the observation. I hear that there's an allegation of much of the response from our side in the country. Equally, that is true. I've also had this uneasy observation that our democracy mentor from overseas has been rather very much has been very responsible in this matter. The EU, Commonwealth, and other nations clearly indicated that they were not able to do the way the elections went. But there has not been a call for condemnation of government and so on. And I wonder what is causing that from that sense. Because current regime is dying or what? I just wonder.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe, first of all, I would first need to be interested in the issue of the because I'm really concerned. In Kenya, there is a trend, in particular, in terms of their leadership. Like you indicated in your report that 1992 seemed that thing happened. And 2007, similar thing happened. Now, 2008, the different thing happened. So, that is the indication that it is something bigger than what is happening in Kenya at the moment. Therefore, also, I wanted maybe to find out that what is the role of EU. Also, take again, because I was just making a photo of a world which was raised by Comrade Madan. You know, our experience shows that most of the time, if there are elections, in particular in Africa, most of the time, they will have their own opinions, and ourselves will be having our own opinions in our country. And also, I wanted to find out that because another thing is normally happens. If things are happening in particular in Europe, the United Nations or the Council will intervene as soon as possible to start to make lots of noise or to make an awareness in that regard. So what is there about now? Since ourselves, what role can we play to influence so that we can have an amicable solution in terms of this? In this case. And then the other one is the thing which was raised by PNU, that is their position, one of their position, that those aggregated by the outcomes of the election should address their concern to court. Actually, I wanted maybe to find out the clarity about the legitimacy of those particular courts, because it might have been the very same courts have been manipulated. So they can't produce good results. That's also a contradiction. Lastly, whether the situation is at the moment what is the role of the neighboring country? Because most of the time, if the situation is like this, the violence is spreading, or else some neighboring countries will find that they are partly involved, directly or indirectly involved, by supporting either one of the regions who's in the fighting areas.
Mr. Chairman, I want to understand the DG referred to Nyanza and the Rift Valley areas that have been identified, the violence. And I don't know whether we know the cause of that, because the question of ethnicity is also in favor. But Nyanza actually is mainly rural, so I don't understand how they could have been inflicting violence among themselves. I'm not so sure about the Rift Valley, whether it's mainly Kikuyu-speaking people. So it may be that the reason for this violence is not so much ethnicity, and maybe ethnicity may be manipulated. Maybe the question is really the land question, but if the DG has any information on this, I think I would appreciate the reason why there is the violence in Rift Valley, and who is fueling that violence in Rift Valley, for example, also in Nyanza. Then, if I understood the DG, 210 MPs were elected as a result of the election. Am I right? And if I'm right, Mr. Odinga got 99, and that left us with 111. And then Mr. Kibaki got 43. And then there is 68 members of parliament that seems not to be accounted for. And we don't even hear their voice. We hear only the voice of Mr. Kibaki and Mr. Ojiba is square about that point at all. So I would like to enlighten the mental that all. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Person. Just two brief questions. When I listened to the presentation, particularly on the area of the last period during the counting, or the tallying, during the tallying of the results. I asked a question as to what, if it was possible, would it be possible for us, for instance, to look at the electoral law of Kenya to check, for instance, this point about the last minute tally of the results, the announcement of the results, or what does the law say about that? At what stage are the results announced, and what procedures should be followed during that time? I'm saying this because it seems as if what happened at that particular time did affect the situation that we see today in Kenya. The question being, was the electoral law followed to the letter? If not, what is it that, for instance, was not done properly? Now, secondly, supposing South Africa were to pronounce all those elections, the freeness and the fairness of the elections, what would we say? What would we say as the people have the liberty to do so? I don't know if we have, but supposing we have, what would we ourselves say? think it's just
I'll come back to you on the second round. You can answer this question because there are a few hands that I need to come back to.
Thank you, Shepherd. Very good and detailed question. I'll try and ask some of them, and I'll ask my Derek Jim to deal with others. On the question of the appointment of Cyril Ramaphosa, who asked on the following statement. Mr. Ramaphosa was in fact invited by Mr. Sophie Annan to be part of that process. As you will know from newspaper reports and so on, there was a contestation about his impartiality. Mr. Ramaphosa then graciously withdrew, not wishing to cause any further dispute around his appointment. From our side, we regretted that he withdrew. We thought that Mr. Ramaphosa could have played a very useful role. But in the interest of taking the process forward and achieving a settlement, it was accepted that he return home. And he did so on his own free will, further supporting the Annan process as he withdrew. So I think that was really the starting point, that there was no question. The process was not being legitimate. There were just these difficulties that arose. And from our side, we supported his appointment there, requested that he had withdrawn, but also we continued to support the Annan process. In terms of the AU policy on electoral guidelines on the continent, which is the second question that you raised, I am not completely sure about the details of the text of those guidelines. I don't know that Mr. Nkosi can answer that either, but we can certainly follow up with that at a later point when I have clarity in my own mind about that. In terms of South Africa's position, Mr. Dion asked regarding, he said before it was an omission, that we have not said sufficient about the electoral process. The first point I think we need to make is South Africa has not pronounced on the outcome of the election. We have not recognized the government or otherwise. What we chose to do as a government was support the African Union process. At the time, you will remember, the president of the African Union was President Kufuor of Ghana, and he went almost immediately to Kenya, and it was a process supported by African Union countries, including ourselves. We did, as it indicated in the document, we continued along the road to support the immediate cessation of violence and work in the field. But we decided that we would go with the African Union position on the matter. In the meantime, reserving our judgment on the election. And that was because there was a process underway to mediate the results. I think it's fair to also say that one of the elements of the documents that the parties are discussing at this point on how to overcome the political crisis arising from the disputed election. And part of that would be, as it has been suggested, an inquiry into the way the election was conducted and the outcome of the election. So that I think we need to wait for the process of concluding tomorrow or the next day in order to understand what they decide upon and to come after that process. I think, Mr. Madaka, most of your questions were more comments rather than questions. To us, it's not something I think we should answer. You talked about the regime change and so on. I think that those of you were comments on the matter. I think that again we can underscore that one of the desired outcomes of the mediation process would be a decision on what they do to inquire into the election process. I wasn't 100% sure on the question about the role of the European Union in this matter. I don't know, maybe you had a take on that. of the negotiation must be to investigate whether this was indeed. I think there was a lot of confusion at the end of the process, and I think Mr. Porti stated in his remarks that the election process itself seemed to go well to a point, and then there was this last minute confusion. We don't have a full inquiry into what had happened there, and I think that ought to be one of the outcomes. We, as I say, have not pronounced on the outcome of the election. We have not worked out or otherwise the current situation until such time as the process of mediation is complete. So those are a few remarks I'd like to make, and perhaps I'd like to ask if I can make any questions.
Okay,
thank you
very much. The EU has come up with good support for the mediation effort that is like what we announced. The issue the statement in the support for the law. So they are fully supportive of the current that is undertaking the EU. The neighboring countries, you will know that Uganda was one of the best countries which is that in Africa to recognize the outcome of the election, 2017, followed by Rwanda. At this stage, there are no indications of any of the neighboring countries may end in the conflict. If they aren't to another way of getting the country. The question raised by the Honorable Justice Kerkhove is quite fundamental. There is a tendency to want to define and characterize the sociopolitical conflict in Zambia and Kenya as an ethno-nationalist conflict. Some of them have believed that that is a very objective way of understanding the dynamics, but the dynamics is actually smaller than that. That we have to use the dark manifest in terms of ethno-nationalism. The provinces you have mentioned are not necessarily homogeneous ethnic but the interdomination that you have called the province out of the new world in that. And there are other ethnic languages in that province. And part of the reason why we highlighted those two as well as the other provinces is some of the epithets out of the current province. Precisely because that's what has happened over the last couple of years. Most of the measures we have taken in the whole country, as well as in the state of the country, we do not want to say if this or that ethnic group that it is in parliament and causing a lot of life of this discussion of property. But indeed, those interests are in the same way. And as I say, our understanding is that these are not homogeneous ethnic entities, but that they are interconnected. They are ethnic Thank you.
143% of the
what is invalid to the question is one fundamental issue that I think members are asking is that South African support for the Kofi Annan process means that it does not recognize the outcome. Does South Africa say, yes, there are problems and the legitimacy of the current president is not there, and therefore the basis of our support for the Kofi Annan policy is the fact that we say as a country, there are problems. That was just what we're coming out. And I picked up in all the questions that people were asking is, what is South Africa saying, here is the crisis, and are we saying the crisis is legitimate, people have a legitimate complaint, and therefore there's a need for the Kofi Annan intervention, or do we say that we do not see a crisis, and therefore if there's an issue, people could then pursue other avenues. What exactly is the country saying? We have looked at the Deputy Minister and said that we have problems with the continued killing of people and damage to property, but we have not dealt with the political position that... What are we actually saying about this process? Are we saying the reason why we support Kofi Annan is because we ourselves are saying, yes, there is a problem? And I think that's what runs through all the questions. Honorable Luchuli and Mel.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to know on the humanitarian situation. You talk of 300,000 displaced humans. Now, are those internal, or have they spilled over to, you know, to the surrounding countries? What and really what's happening to them? What's happening to them? That is the one question. The other one, I think it's just really comment on the long term issues which are to be resolved in 1 year. You know, when you talk of checking poverty, inequality, and then come back to this one, development, investment, and the other one, and changing the end reform. Surely, they cannot be resolved within 1 year or even 2 years or whatever. So, yeah, I'm trying to say, you know, by sort of like putting them there, there's a crisis, you know, and then, of course, we expect that within 1 year, there should be, you know, some normalcy that we can there. And then we go and check on, you know, the issues like that. That is just what was off change that is done such way. The issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the issue, you know. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I think you, Mr. Chairperson, to summarize the essence of this briefing, there was such an accusation from Mr. Leon's original first input. I just want to go this one step further. The question of poverty, inequality, and land problems, etc., didn't start day before yesterday or last month. It's just been there. Equally, this problem that we're confronted with today didn't start just the other day. I think it is very important for us to go back to 1963, the problem between Jomo Kenyatta and Oginga Odinga. We can't can't dismiss this out of our historical experience. You can't dismiss the embarrassment then, nor can we dismiss the hideous embarrassment that we're facing today. It's a continuation of what's happening around. South Africa, therefore, is placed in an invidious position to take a stand in terms of interference, which is denied it by the AU declaration suspiciously. So, but I don't think we can deny ourselves the opportunity and the historical duty to pronounce on it. We might be inhibited by taking any active action, but to pronounce on something that we believe in is an omission on our part. And I think South Africa needs to pronounce on this. Look, Mr. Chairperson, you can't take lightly the installation or inauguration of a president within less than 24 hours of his declaration that he has won in a, normally in his office or in some state house with his friends and civil servants and not a single diplomat presence. But what does it include? What does it say throughout? What does it say for us? I think it is an affront to international relations protocol. So when a president is inaugurated, at least the courtesy is extended to the representatives of the other countries of the world, to such a ceremony. So the malafides that have gone into this entire declaration and practice is there. And I'm suggesting that we should make it a bit easier as a committee to say that your parliamentary committee needs to declare its position on the morality and the validity of what has happened in the Kenyan elections. And that our key is that the Kenyan people get together to resolve their issue, because they were in some ways working towards an ideal democratic society, but are failing themselves. If there's any way that African Union or we ourselves as an independent nation and help, we will do so. So, in reaffirming the chairperson's position that the common denominator of what we are saying is our silence of a declaration of what we as a country think about the Kenyan experience.
This is quite an interesting element. Elections are rigged. On the same day, same voting, parliamentary elections are declared here and there. Same voting station, same presiding officer, same electoral commission. It's complicated in one point, it's complicated in another. It's impossible. Because the elections in China were held the same day. Because the same body that declared the 9-11 MPs for ODM and for the people of everybody. That seems to everybody are accepted, and the computer is not questioned. Comes the presidential outcome, the computer is in question. That's a problem. Yes, there might be a different counting system, but I'm saying that at the end, it's the same body that is competent gets an issue, because you do not have one arm of the same body doing something right, and the next day the same body does something wrong. If the body is incompetent, it must be incompetent. If it's competent the next 1 hour, and the next hour it's not competent, there's a problem. It was the same body that declared the same elections of MPs. It was not a different body.
Yes,
the second aspect has to do with I'll ask the department to comment on that, Mr. Leon, if you don't mind. The second aspect of this is that the question of we are told that when the tribal element took place, and unfortunately, the Maharaj, Kenyan Maharaj in India, said that there's an ethnic cleansing. He used those terms as I'm saying them. You say to us, to simplistic to put it, as a tribal issue, but the Maharaj says that ethnic cleansing. So we have to learn the conversation. Either South Africa wants to downplay the problem, or the Maharaj is the situation of the problem. And in the document that we've been given by Parliament of Stretch, it says that it raises the fact that the EPK chapter, page 3, in the process of these allegations, the role, the quality and competence of the EPK was placed in doubt, especially following the statements made by EPK chapter, Mr. Kibuchi. On 2nd January, several newspapers quoted Mr. Kibuchi saying that he announced the result under pressure. The East African Standard opined that the magnitude of the interpreter's admission and the dent on the credibility of the election was captured in his answer when asked if indeed President Kibaki had won the election. And the answer I quote here, I do not know whether Kibaki won the election. Further, Mr. Kibuki was reported to have said that he took the presidential election winner's certificate to the State House after some people's questions to collect it while I am the one mandated by law to do so. I arrived at the State House to take the certificate and I found the Chief Justice there ready to swear in blood. Surely, if what is inserted in this document is sexual, I find it difficult that we just come out and say we support the Kofi Annan position. Honorable Mayor raised a very fundamental question as to what is coming to think about the situation in Kenya. Then we should come back to that. Then we should come back to that. Honorable Mayor, I'll come back to you. Then we should come back to that and amongst ourselves as MP, and let's look at it and reflect on it and let's express our own view as to what we think about it.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think to address the first question that you asked, and also to an extent what Mr. Rambogan raised, I think we have to acknowledge that there clearly is a crisis. The crisis is manifested in the violent reaction of the Kenyan people to the result of the election, as it was declared on that day soon after the election. We support the Annan process because we believe it is the best hope that the different parties have in the Kenyan situation to resolve the matter. We always have, as a government and as a country, supported diplomatic dialogue in achieving results to a conflict that arises in any country. And we've also always supported that the people themselves come to the table and justice and resolve the matter. We believe that under Mr. Annan's chairship and including other eminent African persons as part of the panel, that this is the best hope that there can be a resolution to the immediate problem of the election outcome. But we also recognize as Mr. Annan's process has indicated, that there are other matters that need to be dealt with, that are underlying some of the conflicts that have given rise to the election results. I think it is clear that from Mr. Annan himself has said that there should be electoral reform, and clearly this is an accepted position now, that there should be electoral reform, and that's another reason that we would support him and the process that he has taken care of. I think we really need to give this process the time that has been allocated up until Friday to come to some resolution, including year-long, the long-term solution to tackling poverty is not. I think what is anticipated is that there should be a framework that is established during that year to address some of the issues that fundamentally underpin some of the conflict. I think it's also fair to say at this point that during the APRM process that Kenya underwent last year, these were issues that were raised at that point as well, which have resurfaced and manifested themselves during the electoral process. So I think that these are matters that really do need to exercise the mind of the Kenyan people and the government in order to address them, to prevent these things from happening again. I think that those are some of the answers that are more generally respond to in the way that people have asked.
No, I think you have just one of these comments by one of the some coaching that is also in the media and just the history. And then it's important that in our analysis we get that. So we are seeing. Just to emphasize that we do not say that we deny the fundamental role or impact of ethnicity in the Kenyan policy and how this has impacted the ethnicity. We did really acknowledge that, but we're saying that it's not the only way. And that every six of us, those who are seeking to find a solution, we should be mindful of the fact that it's not just an ethnic tension, but it's a broader political issue. The other issue, the issue of finding development, the issue of marginalization, the issue of centralization of power, which in the case of called Machimboism, and is one of the campaigns that was done to the UDM, where they were calling for the decentralization of power. And if you recall, one of the electronic platforms that both Kibaki and Cordina brought in the respective parties about. Ahead of the 2002 election on the very issue of the devolution of power, where there was an expectation that there would be major constitutional amendments that would lead, for example, to the creation or establishment of a position of prime minister. And we were informed that there was an understanding happening between both of the parties around that. Part of the problem why the referendum in 2004 ended and it was precisely as a result of the rejection of the Kisne constitutional reform that the Kibaki government was conceived to pilot and everybody rejected the government was the ruling party was the referendum. Problem that we have in the capacity of the
thank you. You know what is interesting about the Kenyan is that when the United States of one of the key areas of reporting function was the question of the political power. When he was in power, he left the point of the court to discover what it is. One MP said to us in the administration, I said, there was no African state to change. He said, and they had to move. They find it difficult. They have not been able to change. So,
calculated in the contradiction. So I think that between the Kenyan entry, that was a major contradiction. And that reason should be clarified when it comes to that. But also, I just want to make an observation that is quite interesting, Manjo. But every time we pick up an election problem, an election outcome that is problematic, is pushed back to the electoral law. In the system, when there are electoral problems, we're in there to reform the electoral law. By the time the King President was chief, we put in our military there, and the first thing that we did was go through the revamp of the electoral law. 3 years down the line, last year or so, the special elections was a problem. It went back to the electoral law. Zimbabwe, when there was a problem, it went to the electoral law. So, we can come back and say, are we not taking shelter into the electoral law when there are problems? Kenya now, when Kibaki took over, they complained that the previous president was using the electoral law to try to guide everybody else. When they took over, they didn't have a problem. They have a problem now, trying to break the electoral law. So we are going to perpetuate. You told that the electoral law has one flaw or the other. Why is it that you are picking up a tendency throughout the inability of people to accept when they've lost and accept that they've lost, but for perpetuating a problem somewhere else, that their loss is as a result of one problem or the other. But we need to come back and look at that very, very seriously. Because we are not going to end with the electoral problems. We need to ask ourselves whether the way we go about dealing with elections is the right way. And therefore, are we able to live with the outcomes of those elections? Because every time we get sent to the electoral processes, when there are difficulties, and sometimes difficulties that are created by the fact that people just want us to move from the position that they have. Seems to be giving them the power that they need. Mamajo, I want not to leave it that, but I want to come back to Honorable Mayor to ask the question that he's asking. How, as members of Parliament of this Council, understand the situation in Kenya? We are currently seeing the debate of the State of the Nation. Perhaps we may not be able to do that because there will be no member statements in this debate. But surely, we should be able to ask two or three members of this committee to look at the situation and probably develop a motion that would go up across all the parties and agree and take it to the House and express our opinion as a committee that's what is happening in Kenya. And be able to put forth our own position on that particular aspect. I want to place that proposal before you. Can you get comments?
Okay. The process of cabinet itself with the Department of Modern Affairs to communicate, I can see the diplomatic niceties that were in, which can become very inhibitive. I can understand that. But when you're parliamentarians or representatives of the people who are in fact saying, this is what we are saying in South Africa as parliamentarians, it facilitates the possibility for the department to communicate this not only to the Kenyans, to declare our hand that please, we must not be the instruments of embarrassment or the mockery that we make of the African Renaissance. I think we should take that route. Because even our silence on an issue of this nature or issues of that nature is in fact an act demonstrating that we are tolerating the mockery that the African Renaissance is becoming. So I think our parliament should politicize it to such an extent that we should facilitate the process of our own department on the one hand, and also humbly put
that other countries around Kenya and the rest of Africa, for that matter, take the lead from this. And they can't tell us in one breath that we have created a miracle, that we have accommodated for, you know, warring parties, so to speak, and then disregard our experience, and they can go to hell. We are going our own route. Now, I think we need to reaffirm that position, not only to consolidate democracy in the rest of Africa, but to give it even in our own country, that we take these thought processes across our own boundaries. And I agree with you, Mr. Chairperson, that you should have a multi-party position on this, and not just an ANC position.
Honorable Chairperson, this is the time when we have got to take a humble approach, because South Africa is taken as a model of democracy, and that will refer to our integrity and honesty. And my question is, were we having any part to play in the election in Kenya? Because if we had any part to play, and then we are quiet, we don't say anything, that could impact on our integrity and honesty vis-a-vis the big brother effect of South Africa. We are perceived as playing the role of a big brother in Africa. So then, if at all we had a part to play, we've got to approach whatever we say in a very humble manner. Thank you.
I agree with what has been said. I'm not having a problem with the question of recognition, because recognition is a very important thing in international law. The fact that you don't immediately recognize does not mean that you're not going to recognize at some point. I think that every state weighs its own interests, and after it has considered those interests, in position from all angles, then it decides to recognize. At the moment, there is a process taking place in Kenya involving a former secretary of the UN, who is very trusted now by the AU. I think it would be proper that process is given a chance to succeed or not to succeed. And then we can take a question of whether we recognize it or not. Recognition does not necessarily mean that it would and stop the killings in Kenya. Actually, it might inflame, because if you support either this one or that one, certainly people could fight. But I think that we should go again back and read a little bit about the principle of recognition of states. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do have states that deal with states they are not recognized. I think it's a very big principle. We should look at it and not take it lightly. But I think the question of peace, stability, are the immediate things we should work at this juncture. I have no problem with a multi-party, you know, coming up with something, but it should not get itself involved with recognition. I think that the recognition part should really be considered by the Department of Foreign Affairs itself. I don't think it's a matter that we must consider. Because if we say something that's very critical, and they said something about the views themselves, and they are not creating a conflict and sending confusing the views.
Thank you, I'm not sure. Then we should leave the question of recognition, because I thought that what you're saying is that we ask two members to look at the situation and come and tell us how we understand the South African Parliament. And I wanted to propose that we ask Honorable Mewa and Honorable Joseph Herman to work on that, and so that we come back to us and say, this is what they've worked on, then we can look at that. ultimately believe that in any situation we have the capacity as parliament to pronounce whether we recognize the government or not, but can express an opinion on the political situation. And in this case, my assumption is that we are asking those members to work on what we as South African parliament understand of what is happening in Kenya. This meeting was convened with the NCOP conference. I'm going to ask the chairperson of the NCOP to look at that and possibly ask their colleagues to join Honorable Newa and Honorable Soleimani to work on that. Spenzo is the head of parliament for this committee, and I think you'll form a backbone to ask those members to formulate an understanding. We don't want to take this from the Newa and Honorable Soleimani. We just want assessment of how much we respond as South African parliamentarians to the situation and be able to take it to the House for consideration. We take it from there. And I think that friends of the committee in special form a backbone of that. The committee taking to here and they will all give up that backup. When needed. And parliamentarizing process, if there's a need to link up with certain forces, I think I can buy, the share that I can buy in public and invest in the communication that needs that. So I can buy him and that he would also be willing to provide whatever happens on the department side that we may require. I agree with what you said, that we must not go beyond our line of political scope. But we have space to Honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. From the NCOP, we have Ms. Kaplant and Ms. Duncan.
Honourable members, we've come to the end of the first part, but I'm going to ask members of the NA to remain behind the display of our administrative work.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thank
you. Were you involved in the election?
But I want to say on record that there are going to do that political experience must accompany officials to the committee.
I don't get the answer. Were you involved in elections? Were you involved in elections? No, I don't get the answer. I'm trying to get that. Honorable Chairperson, I ask if we were involved in the process in Kenya. Were we involved? Not involved at all. Okay, thank you. We can go my son. No, I'm going back today. Other meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
and the commission accepted it and received it. And so the parliament will go ahead and the project is sitting last and received by the committee or considered by the committee. One short answer. Second one is also a very short one, the fact that there's an annual report of the committee. As I said, that it only gives a state of meetings. And basically that's what you get in the annual report. I think you need to change the way it's done because it doesn't tell you whether all the issues that they raise as meetings of the committee, what happened to those meetings, what are the positions of those meetings. But I thought that maybe if our group members agree that we can dispense with these two administrations and position quickly because I'm sure that plans are getting cold.
Okay. I move the adoption.
But I will never move the adoption. However, I want to impress on members. We are going to receive a budget presentation, I think sometime in March. I want to ask you to look at the annual report, look at the 2007 budget, look at the annual report, and look at what the department brings. Because that's the only way for us to do an oversight, is to look at what the department outcomes, what they have done, and when they come in up with a new budget, have they achieved the previous budget allocation and the tasks that they said that they will be achieving. Friends on both sides of the committee together to provide friends of details, because I know that members may want to interact with you. It's thinking paper, but I think that members should have been able to have access to friends. You can assist in terms of putting up some of the information. But I also want to ask members, in the budget vote of last year, in your speeches, you made or you raised certain issues that you wanted the department to deal with. If members still want to raise those issues, maybe we could make my office available for members to bring those issues forward so that you can factor them in into the preparation for the next budget. To check whether the issues that you have raised in the previous debate were actually taken into account in preparation for the next budget or in preparation for the annual report. So I want to request members that if you look at your speeches in that budget vote, if there are issues that you raise that you think the department should have followed up, bring them to the attention so that you can then ask the department, give them a list of all the issues that you have raised, and ask them that when they come to make a budget presentation, they must respond to those issues. Because I don't want them to come in and then you raise those issues they don't have answers. Because you are be holding them at the immediate situation that they must give answers. So I want to ask members that please bring them to the office. I will then compile them and send them to the department and say, when you prepare, please give response to these particular issues that members have raised in their budget votes. So that we can track down issues that members raised time to time, what happens to those issues. If we can try and do that, maybe we can get, we can also infuse our oversight over the department. Can I remember? My just getting close.
That's a good idea. You're very good.
Yeah, I'm really good.
How are you?
Okay.